for the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So Dr. Turner's back.
Can't just come back now.
I don't understand.
Dr. Ron Turner is going to rejoin us this evening because, as I understand it, we can get David Hall on the line. He felt he was not given enough time to explain his, I guess, position when it comes to the, you know, the elocution of scientific terms. David, is that it?
Yeah, Dr. Turner here about an hour ago. He wanted to come back on the air. I'm in the middle of dinner, and this is the kind of thing.
You know, David, if you have this control thing, it's going to happen.
What control thing have I got?
If you want to be controlling everything that happens on the show, you're going to have these guys talking to you.
Well, what did he do, David? Did he call you in the middle of a meal?
Yeah, he called me in the middle of a meal. And before you make your jokes, you don't know that I like being... I mean, you do know that I don't like being interrupted.
No, we don't know.
Yes, you do, bud. You're taking the advantage of me misstating it, and you're saying, oh, yeah, I agree with that.
You want me to agree with you?
I don't want you to agree with me when I make a mistake.
What mistake did you make?
General, I said, you heard the mistake I made, as I said, I do want you to call me when I'm eating a meal.
Yeah, so we did.
I don't want you to call me when I'm eating a meal.
All right, I think we've got that cleared up.
Well, it doesn't sound like it to me.
We've got it cleared up. So Turner called you in the middle of a meal, even though it wasn't us.
Yeah, so it wasn't you calling me. Turner calls me up, and how he got my home phone number, I mean, I did give it to him, but...
Well, if you gave him your home phone number, David...
My home phone number?
Home phone number.
Home phone number.
Margaret, I'm sorry. Did you eat any of those dope brownies?
You know what? That is so like you to change the subject when you've got one foot in it and the other one going into it.
No. My feet are not in it. Turner calls me up while I'm eating, which is a mistake, and it's not because I'm a glutton... Because I've lost 20 pounds, I'll thank you.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
All right, thank you. Anybody else?
Well, are you expecting all of us? All right, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Congratulations.
All right. So, Carter calls me up while I'm eating.
Even though you've lost 20 pounds.
Goodbye. Wait, I can't hang up because I got to tell you. Turner calls me up.
No, we'll hang up.
Wait a minute, don't you...
There, we hung up, and we can move on with the show now. Hello, everybody, it's Phil Hendry.
What is he going to tell you, though?
Turner's going to call, and he's going to be on the show because he felt like we didn't listen to him last night when he was trying to explain about how he doesn't have to know big words as a scientist.
What? Are you... You're not going back on that whole The Thing. When he was talking to us about the film The Thing... Is that it, what you're saying?
Well, it has something to do with that, right? But what was it?
What are you nervous about?
I'm not nervous.
Well, you went ba-bud.
So I said ba-bud. Whatever, okay?
What did Turner call you up about, Dickman, in the name of everything holy?
He called me up. He said that,
Take it easy. Take a deep breath.
He called up. He said he wanted...
Here, I'll do it. He called up and he said that he wanted to explain about why he didn't want to use a big word.
The only thing I remember about last night's show is he didn't want to use big words because he said that we wouldn't understand them. It came off to me like he didn't know the big words, you know?
That's exactly how it came off to me, and I think it needs to be explained to him that if he thinks he's going to get away with that on this show, using this ridiculous thing about higher-level animals having a nose and two eyes... Because he doesn't know the big word for it, brother, he's walked into the wrong saloon.
All right, if that's all that this is about...
Yeah, that's exactly all it's about. That's exactly all it's about.
Well, see, this is why last night I asked him, well, what do you call that? Because he kept trying to explain it in this very pedestrian, very sophomoric way.
All right. All this has to do with folks last night on the show, and if you were with us, Dr. Turner had started the show with us saying... That this 30,000-year-old virus that was found in the Arctic frost was one of the lower levels of animals. It's a virus. It's not even at the level of an amoeba. It's not even at the level of, you know, that's about as low as it gets, if you pardon the expression.
Yeah, see, well, I'm not talking morally, though.
Of course we're not talking morally. Are you ready for this guy? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to make an announcement.
Margaret, don't worry. I'll explain it.
Explain what?
Bud doesn't understand, Bud. We're not talking about low as in a low-principled It's low as in low, you know.
It's way down there, Dick, but it's a virus. It doesn't even have feet. It doesn't, it...
Dick, I know. No, I know.
Okay, so you, all right.
It's not bad.
No, it's not a bad virus, unless it, I guess it could be a bad virus if it was,
Well, I mean, if it was HIV.
All right, let's not, you know what we're talking about. So anyway, Dr. Tarner will join us here from the Mountain Meadow, actually from University of Denver this evening. Dr. Tarner, thank you very much, and good evening.
Well, good evening, Phil, and I'm sorry to interrupt your program, but I thought it was important.
I understand that. What were you trying to explain to us last night? I know that, in part, it had to do with separating for us what level of life this 30,000-year-old virus was on as opposed to any other kind of organism that might be found in this Arctic frost. I think people need to understand that the Arctic ice is so deep, as it is, I suppose, in Antarctica, correct?
Well, the Antarctica ice, Bill, is a bit shallower because you're talking about a landmass. So the ice in Antarctica is covering actual terra firma, actual Earth. It is not quite as thick. Although there have been core samples taken from the Antarctic ice, which are quite fascinating, and have revealed strata, which shows us carbon deposits, and can tell us something about the history of the Earth, the history of the weather of this Earth, quite dramatically.
Yeah, that's my understanding, Dr. Tarner. This is Dr. Shaw. No, this is General Tarner. I'm sorry, I did this last night.
Yeah, you called yourself General Tarner last night.
Yeah, I did, because I feel like we're almost related. You sound so much like me.
Well, I sound like a younger version of you. I think that's what I heard some people say.
Yeah, indeed you do. Although, let's just leave the comparison there, because I'm sure mano a mano, well, I want to keep it friendly.
Well, I have no reason not to have it friendly, General Tarner. I mean, General Dr. Shaw.
It's General Shaw. I want people to know we're not doing this on purpose, Phil.
I understand that.
The only thing about me, my voice doesn't crack like yours.
No, your voice does not crack like mine, and you should thank God Almighty for that, because sometimes, well, like right now, you sound like a real ass.
You're not saying I sound like an ass.
No. I'm saying I sound like an ass a lot of the time. Now, all right, I'm all done.
Thank you.
Well, what does that mean?
It means thank you that you're all done. You know.
Well, I think you've got a very colorful program there. I'm having a great deal of fun. I'm sorry to intrude on your time.
Well, let's be clear, Dr. Tarner. Although we are very happy to have you with us, yes, this is night two on whatever it is you're trying to explain, I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay, that's honest. I appreciate the honesty. Night two. Okay.
No, but we're happy to have you here, Dr. Tarner. Please don't...
Yeah, Dr. Tarner, don't... Ms. Grayton...
Excuse me, I don't speak for me.
Well...
Don't speak for me, please.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Tarner...
I didn't want to intrude because I know that your program is well known for a bit of... A bit of dysfunction. And I don't mean that in an unkind way, but I wanted to be able to explain myself and do it in a way where I don't feel too self-conscious, although Ms. Gray's comment that this is night two.
Well, we're into night two of your appearance on this program, and it's getting a little old, you know.
Well, Margaret, I think that is... I don't think that's very kind of you, although it is accurate.
Hold the line.
Well, you see, that's the kind of thing that stings. It burns up.
I think what we need to do with Dr. Please tell Dr. Tarner to hold on.
Yeah, Dr. Tarner. Yeah, you're supposed to hold on. Uh-huh. What?
Nothing, man. Don't scream everything is what I've been telling you. Go and do that stuff. Can we put this phone in another room?
Yeah, you put it in another room. Then Dickman got to come up and run back in here and say, everything's ready.
Anyway, let's be a little kinder to the doctor. I mean...
Phil, this is night two.
I get that it's night two, and I understand that we don't ordinarily have guests come on two nights in a row to explain. It doesn't usually take people two nights to explain something.
Bingo, right there. You said a mouthful there, friend, and excuse me, Margaret, for the phrase. And by the way, I think it is very, very... It takes a lot of energy and time, but mostly energy to have to explain to Margaret I didn't mean anything by saying mouthful.
I think it's just being polite.
Well, I just do.
I agree with the general, okay?
I think it's being polite.
Okay. So can we just be kinder to Dr. Turner, not General Turner, and not Dr. Shaw.
I understand.
Thank you. All right, anyway, welcome back here, folks. This Tuesday night, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We've got some other news to talk with you about. Very, very interesting story, and I know, Margaret, you've got some very strong opinions on this, as do many. A girl in New Jersey has sued her parents for college tuition money. She has sued her parents, essentially, for support, even though she did not agree to the rules of the road, if you will, the rules of the house. She was tossed out by her parents. She's nonetheless suing. She's gone to court. Now, a judge has denied her suit, most recent filing of her suit. However, there is another ruling and another attempt at it next month. But we'll stay on top of this for you. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and online at TuneIn, as well as online right now on Listen Live on our website. We're live and mobile, either on our website or on TuneIn, so you can check out the show right now. As a matter of fact, you can listen to us during our commercial breaks as we talk and discuss and give each other a hard time and threaten each other and use all kinds of profanity. Not that the profanity is interesting, but the threats and the violence, the threatened lawsuits. It's all there. It's all here. It's all for you at philhendryshow.com. Now.
Thank you for... There is no such thing in this studio, ladies and gentlemen.
No, not much.
Not much. Get a load of you, Henry. Boy, I tell you, if it ever does really come down to that... Katie, bar the door.
Yeah, well, I'll take that. What's the new phrase around here? I'll take that under advisement. All right, Dr. Ron Turner joining us. Dr. Turner, thank you very much. We're going to get off on a fresh foot here, on a new foot. Sorry, I'm probably not getting the phrase right.
The phrase, Phil, is get off on a new foot, although the term get off is probably not anything you want to use, but I'm not going to tell you how to run your show.
Yeah, I thank you, Dr. Turner, but I would watch that, Phil.
Watch what?
You got to watch saying get off.
Oh, will you people give me a break?
Well, just can I jump in, Phil? If you're going to be involved in this give and take with your staff, do you want me to call back another night?
No, I don't know. I don't need you to call back another night. We got it under control. It's fine.
Well, for that, combined with the night two on what Turner's trying to spit out, I'm a little bit offended.
I don't believe I put it that way, Dr. Turner. I said, can you get to it because we're on night two?
Margaret, let me control the pace of the show.
Phil.
Let me control the pace and the flow of the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Do I have to take that?
Take what?
The guest said thank you, Phil.
I'm simply thanking Phil. I'm not putting you down, Margaret.
Yeah, you got to take it. Sit there and take it.
Yeah, just shut up and take it, baby.
Excuse me.
Hey!
Don't reach across me. If you're going to kick his ass, do it somewhere else.
Ow! That hurt!
I didn't touch him. You're a witness.
I know. I saw that.
But did she hurt that young man?
No, she didn't. He's always doing that.
She almost did, though, Dr. Turner.
Well, I don't want to be a part of this, Phil. I just came on your program to explain some of the comments that I made last night.
I know. Just hang in, Doctor. We'll be fine. But if you do that whole, ow, that hurt one more time, I'm going to give you, as my father used to say, I'll give you a reason to cry. Okay?
There you go. Bingo, Phil. That's what we used to tell the kids. You got that right.
Yeah, now, that I concur with.
What are you going to really hurt me?
If you keep doing with that whole...
Well, can I say something?
Yeah.
So the young man was not touched at all?
No, not at all.
Yeah, well... I'll say ow, because it looks like it's going to hurt.
Right. And this is why you're on day two, by the way, Ms. Gray, if you don't mind.
Okay, everybody, just keep your opinion to yourself for just 5 seconds. Just 5 seconds.
I want to respond to that.
No, just for 5 seconds, keep your opinion to yourselves. Now, we're going to finish what we started last night. It is not Dr. Turner's fault that we're into night two. One of the reasons, as he pointed out, is because of this asinine give and take. You going, ow. Margaret getting her feelings hurt. You, General Turner. Robert.
I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, you know, you want to speak up more.
Okay, but pick it up.
Now, you're going to take that? See, I...
Yeah, hold on, Dr. Turner. I'll pick it up, Robert. Thank you.
So you take it from Robert, but not from me. Sorry.
Dr. Turner, last evening on the show, you mentioned this 30,000-year-old virus, this a very, very large virus, as a matter of fact, the largest ever found, the largest microbe ever found, and or the largest virus, I should say, larger still than the old, or I shouldn't say old, but the previously largest one, the Pandora virus. Now, you mentioned this as a lower level of animal, as a virus is, the lowest of all levels of animals, and we're not talking about morality here.
No, I think that was a good point there made by the young man, although you're not talking about morality when you're talking about virus. You're talking about good or bad virus. You're talking about a virus that could be a virus that affects humans. It could be a disease that is particularly devastating, and some viruses are relatively benign, or they may affect only animals. In this case, a virus that affects a lower form of animal called an amoeba. And that's what I was referring to. Now, this virus, as the lowest, so when I say low, I don't mean morally. I don't think you don't call a virus despicable.
No, I think we understand that.
That's fine, Dr. Turner. That was something that Bud didn't understand.
Well, I'm just saying it for Bud's purposes.
No, I understand that, Dr. Turner. That it's not despicable.
Yes. It's kind of a silly point to make. I don't think I've ever had to make it on any other show that I have been on, and I've been on quite a few, but there's a first time for everything.
Can I jump in here, if I might?
Go ahead.
This is General Shaw.
Yeah, yes, General Shaw.
When you say that that's not a point you've had to make on any other show that you've been on, what you're basically saying is that this show is it's a little on the weird side, and we've got a whole lot of real brainless... Are you saying we've got brainless idiots here, or what are you saying?
No, I'm not saying that there are brainless idiots on the show. I'm not trying... I can see you're trying to corner me into an argument.
No, I'm not. I honestly... Because in a way, I feel embarrassed that this is the first show where you had to explain that when you say a low form of animal,
Talking, not torquing.
I know that. You're not talking morality.
That's correct. I'm not talking morality. No, I haven't had to mention that on another show, but I'm perfectly happy to mention it here. I'm trying to stay as far away from an argument as I can get.
But, Dr. Turner, I'm sorry if we upset you.
Well, I'm just trying to keep it right.
Oh, my God, he's blubbering.
Yes, I'm blubbering because I came on the program with the best of intentions.
All right, Dr. Turner, I don't mind. I don't blame you, I should say, for blubbering.
You don't mind me blubbering either, do you?
No, I don't.
Did you expect it to?
No, I did not expect you to blubber, and I didn't expect you to cry, but I understand, sir. It's perfectly fine. I understand because this show is like walking into the middle of a dysfunctional family that can't let anything alone. It's got to just keep on keeping on. It's just everybody's got to have their hand held around here, their nose blown, their ass wiped, and everything else.
I resent the whole ass wiped. I really do.
Oh, Margaret, it's a figure of speech for Jesus H. God.
Okay. Do you want me to stay on the air?
Yes, we do. And I'd like you to finish out here. Lower form of... Okay, when you say a higher form of animal, what do you mean?
What I mean, and what I tried to explain last night, an animal that's a higher form of animal, higher form of animal from the virus that was found, has a scientific term. I try to avoid using those scientific terms because I don't think the audience will understand them. Many people in the lectures that I give do not understand. I will say it's a higher form of animal. What does that mean? It's one that either swims or walks. If it walks, it has two legs or four legs. It's got a nose, eyes, and ears, and a head, and it'll... I mean...
Well, how do you say it when you're not so emotional?
Yes, imagine yourself in front of a more functional as opposed to dysfunctional family, Dr. Turner. Thank you, Phil.
Okay, Margaret.
You're the one that characterized us that way.
All right, if I was in front of it, and I'm not that you aren't dysfunctional.
You don't have to lie. Go ahead.
I'm not lying.
Hold on. Hold on.
Hey, Dr. Turner, you okay? Yeah, you ought to blow your nose. Yeah, you should blow your nose because I can hear the snot coming from you.
Thank you, Bud, for saying that. Okay, so Dr. Turner now...
Well, you see what happened? The guy comes on this program, and he's reduced to a quivering, blubbering... He's a quivering, blubbering, whimpering thing. A thing in a heap.
I didn't do that to him.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I beg your pardon?
Yes, you did. When we come back, Dr. Turner is going to explain what he means by a higher form of animal And I know what he's going to say. It's got a nose and eyes and a head that looks at you. Jeez.
Well, what the hell is so funny, Henry? This is day two. But
I know it's day two. It's day two for the reasons that I articulated, because we can't let the poor man alone. The guy is blubbering like a woman.
Oh, my God, you finally got to it. Took you almost, 2 years, but you finally did get to it. Women are blubbering, quivering things. I'm Margaret Gray. No talking after I say that.
Another day in this carnival.
I want to talk.
No, you don't get to. I'm Margaret Gray.
Another night's end.
Sissy.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. What, bud?
This band is all that remains.
Yeah, I know. And so what's...
He thinks they're great because they've got a girl bass player.
Well, every band that has a chick bass player is particularly badass. There's...
And why do you say that?
I don't know. There's something about bands that have chicks that play the bass.
Well, why can't they play the other... what about drums? I'm always familiar with girls that play drums. I think that's cute.
Yeah, that's real cute.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, this is more than cute. I mean, I don't know. There's something about a girl on the bass, in a metal band especially, that works. All right.
Yeah, it just works, Ms. Gray. I don't know how to say it. It just works.
Oh, I see. It just works, huh? What about the girl drummer in, I know, the Go-Go?
The Go-Go.
You're talking about the Go-Go's, right? It's a plural.
No, it's not. Yes, it is. Okay, you're right. What about her?
The whole band was female.
Oh, that's right.
The whole band was female. All right, Dr. Ron Tarner back with us here from the University of Denver this evening. Dr. Tarner, when we talk about this 30,000-year-old amoeba, we're talking about a creature that is the lowest form. It is a simple form of life. Is that a better way of putting it?
Yes, it is, Bill. Just a point. I'm looking at you on your Phil TV feed, and I saw you slump a little bit when you said 30,000-year-old virus. You physically slumped.
I did see that too, Doctor.
Yeah, and I want to ask you, and I won't make a big issue, are you getting bored with this topic? Because this is night two.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Well, I saw you physically slump.
I saw it too, Phil.
Let me do what I do, and let's just go on with the show. And let's not take things personally.
All right.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I'm feeling better.
Well, he sounds like he's going to fall apart.
Dr. Tarner, this is William Tarner. This is Galen Tarner. This is Ron Shaw. God.
Get himself a Yoo-Hoo or whatever he drinks.
Get himself.
Good.
Don't yell at me like that.
Okay, Ron, we're fine. Everything's good.
What happened there? I heard the general being hustled off.
He's going off to have his vanilla wafers and his cottage cheese and his Yoo-Hoo. That's what kind of smooths him out. That levels his karma.
Boy, what a show you've got. You've got one of the weirdest. Okay.
Excuse me, Dr. Tarner. We're no weirder than anyone else.
Would you like to put some money on that? Because I've been on a half a dozen shows here over the last, I'd say, 7 or 8 days, and this is by and far... This is an experience I'll remember.
Okay, and I'm very grateful for that, sir. Now, the lower forms of life, or if you will, the simpler forms of life, how would you describe any other organism that is more developed or more advanced from an amoeba that you may find in the Arctic frost?
Well, what I say to the audiences that I talk to, and what I tried to say to your audience last night, was that that would be a higher form of animal that would not just be a gelatinous little squiggly thing. See, the viruses, which also have big names...
Oh, for God's... Are we going to have to...
Margaret?
What's her problem?
I don't have a...
Would you please? All right, I've kicked everybody out of the studio. Robert's still here. Go.
All right, you're sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
A virus is a small, little creature... It's a squiggly-wiggly thing.
What do you mean, squiggly-wiggly?
What I mean by squiggly and wiggly is that the big word that you use to describe the kind of virus that this is one that is very difficult to pronounce. It would be difficult for me to pronounce on a broadcast medium like this, or if I were talking before, for instance, a seminar, a group of other educators or students, or just interested lay people. So I say that what was found in the Arctic ice was a 30,000-year-old virus. And if you don't know what a virus is, it's a little wiggly, squiggly thing under the microscope. Now, the bigger squiggly, wiggly... I just feel like you're laughing at me.
No, we're not laughing at you. We're listening.
All right. The bigger squiggly, wiggly things are amoebas. But then when you get to the bigger animals, the ones that have legs and walk around and stare at you, any animal that can stare at you, I don't know.
Day two, huh?
Yeah, I'm depressed over the idea that you've had me on here for two nights.
Well, yeah, it's. I think we understand. Anything that can look at you is what you're saying.
Right, you know. Now, I'm not so much married to the concept because now there's some freshwater fish that won't stare at you. A saltwater fish is intelligent, and it will look you in the eye, and it knows you're there. It knows what it's doing. It knows what it wants to do. And it's looking at you, and it's sizing everything up. Now, a freshwater fish isn't going to do that. A freshwater fish floats around like a dumb... Excuse me for saying this, but I used to say this, and a lot of people could relate to it. And is Ms. Gregg on?
She's not here, yeah.
Okay. A freshwater fish is like a dumb broad. You know how they just stare, but they're not looking?
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, Doctor.
Okay, you guys know, right?
All right, yeah.
Okay. So...
You know, there's no guarantee. Here she comes.
Yeah, I heard all of that. I heard all of that, and I will.
Go on, Margaret. Go and get your whatever it is, White Owl cigar.
So she's gonna report me now to the school?
No, she's not. I'm gonna let you go, Dr. Turner. Okay.
Oh man, that's not fair at all.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go. All right. Are you gonna be all right?
No, I'm not gonna be all right. She gonna tell me what's going on?
She's not going to call the school. Everything's fine. I'm going to just let you go because you've lost control of yourself.
It sounds to me, Tartar, like you've lost control of your will to live.
No, she's going to go and tell me, Mo.
I'll make sure she doesn't tell anyone. Now, why don't you cinch it up and man up like a man, sack up, gear up, fall in.
You're not talking to one of your
lawyers. I said to fall in. Out of hell.
Dr. Turner, I'll talk to you off the air after the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that guy, I didn't know that guy was emotionally kind of wrecked, you know.
Well, can I come in or not?
Come on in. Why can't you just leave well enough alone?
Phil!
Why can't you leave well enough alone? Why can't you stay out there and just keep your mouth shut?
Do you know who you're talking to?
I'm fully aware of who I'm talking to. I'm completely cognizant of who I'm talking to. Margaret Gray, the wife of Frank Gray, the big entertainment attorney, the big lawyer, the big producer. I know. I know who you are, the writer. Why can't you leave well enough alone? Every time you opened your yap, it was one more dagger into this segment of the show because this guy already is coming on here with an inferiority complex. He doesn't know these big words. He's trying to pretend like he doesn't want to use big words because he doesn't want to confuse the audience. This guy probably doesn't know an amoeba from a virus from a piece of Jell-O.
Shut up, Pickman.
Easy, bud. Okay, so the guy's already got, as he said himself, one foot in it and the other one's on its way in. And in the meantime, all you're doing is nitpicking this guy.
It's day two, Phil.
I know it's day two. I got it about day two. There's nothing we can do about it. As it turned out, the guy didn't say anything tonight that he didn't say last night. What's the higher form of animal? Something with a head, two eyes.
Oh, man. Look at how you're out of control. You weren't even the one to do this interview.
No, Mark, I've got to go with Phil on this. I've about split a gut listening to this Jack Ball try to explain himself. The whole thing is strictly from hunger.
I think there could have been a better way of explaining this.
All right, how? How do you explain it better? If the guy doesn't know...
Why doesn't he use the big words?
He doesn't know the big words. What? You know, what are you going to say?
Yo, they all got names, though, Mr. Henry, like a pterodactylus or something. You know how they say, like a pterodactyl or something?
Yes, Bud's right, even though he's not doing it right. The words they give dinosaurs.
Well, whatever. Whatever. Do you know the big word for a bird?
What do you mean?
Birds have a big, long scientific name. Something, 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 something. The genus and the thisus and the thatus.
Yeah, it's always like a Latin or something.
There you go, right there. It's always in Latin or Greek or some kind of pig Latin. Something no one could understand. Something only some genius four-eyed geek would understand.
Well, as it is, There's a lot of people that understand it. People that are in... I got a friend of mine who's an ornithologist, okay? Dr. McKernan. He's the... this is a guy I grew up with. He is the curator of the San Bernardino Natural History Museum. Now then...
Oh, are we going to hear this story again, Phil? So you grew up with a bunch of eggheads. Good for you.
Hey, I'm just trying to tell you that he's an ornithologist. And he, if you talk to him about birds, I guarantee you, he's going to get into all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, this guy Turner, man.
Dr. Turner is an astronomer. He's not a microbiologist. He's not an archaeologist. He's not a whatever the hell they call. Don't they have prehistoric or primordial biologists? Some jazz like that.
They have scientists that study the I don't know.
I think they've got scientists that study
up on animals that used to be but don't exist anymore. What are you going to study them for?
On account of they want to know what they were.
Yeah, but why? They're not around anymore.
Because they want to know what they were. Who cares if they're around or not? Aren't you interested in stuff like everybody likes dinosaurs. At least little kids do.
Yeah, but little kids like them. How come you don't?
Because I'm not no little kid.
Well.
Yeah, that might be a misnomer.
Whatever. Okay, so we're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show with the story of a high school student, a young woman, who was kicked out of her parents' home, but that didn't stop her from suing for support. She wants college tuition. She wants money. She wants the big money. We'll find out about that on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Listen live and mobile on philhendryshow.com. Listen live and tune in. Woo! World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Now, what is that creature on the video computer right there?
We were showing moments ago to our Phil TV audience the Tasmanian tiger. Now, Eminem gave an interview in Australia, and in the interview, he said he wanted to wrestle a Tasmanian tiger, and there's no question that if he was intent on wrestling something called a Tasmanian something, he probably meant a Tasmanian devil or perhaps some other... Because the Tasmanian tiger is extinct. It's been extinct since the 1930s. Eminem's interview, which is online for all to read, I guess. He wants to wrestle a Tasmanian tiger during his 2014 Australian tour. He's revealed he's hoping to wrestle a Tasmanian tiger. The rap superstar will perform at the Rapture Hip Hop Festival this month. This is down in Aussie land, in Oz, as they call it. He was talking to Today FM's Jules Lund, and he said he had some very special plans. Jules sheepishly revealed that they are extinct, the Tasmanian tiger. Eminem replied, "Oh, well, maybe I can bring one back. Mark my words, when I'm there, I'm going to find one." Now, here's the interesting thing.
Eminem's a Fruit Loop.
Look, the cat's he's a performer. He's an entertainer.
Well, who does he think he is, anyway? Andy, by God, Jackson? Gonna bring back the thing.
What has Andy Jackson got to do with it? Andrew Jackson wasn't God.
Some of us thought he was pretty damn close. Thank you very much.
General, you're extremely indignant tonight.
I'm getting a little tired of people running this great country down, and they're not running the country down, but this punk ran down the Tasmanian tiger, which is not this country either, but it's a symbol of one of our great allies, which is Australia. Look, and I don't have to I'm going to explain myself.
Well, you don't have to explain yourself, but I'm certainly not going to be. I won't be talked to that way.
Easy, before I get so pissed off, I throw this whole place into the street.
That's exactly what Jack Nicholson said.
Now, before I throw this place into the street, everybody just back off, okay?
Yeah, Jack Nicholson said that in the border.
I know he did. The Tasmanian tiger has been extinct since the 1930s. It's an amazing animal. I wish to God we still had them, but we don't. And I can't get all bent out of shape about these... I can't get all bent out of shape about these extinct animals that, you know, went extinct so long ago, because what are you going to do? The people that lived back in the day were people that they didn't know any better. How do you say to someone, and when I say they didn't know any better, if they didn't know any better, we damn sure wouldn't have known any better. You know, people had to learn. So I thank them. I thank them for learning. I thank them for allowing, you know, for allowing themselves to learn so that you and I aren't so stupid. But I sure as hell wasn't born with any great love of animals one way or the other. I learned to appreciate animals to the point where we don't want them to go extinct.
What? What are you talking about?
Here you go again, Phil. No one knows what you're talking about. It's just going, yeah, da, 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 da.
Okay, Margaret, why don't you explain it?
Explain what?
Explain your great love of animals.
I think that animals are, you know something? All you want me to do is screw up, so.
I know the guy I want to talk to is Dean Wheeler. Dean is up at Nico's, which is a jazz club in the East Bay, where he's going to be seeing his wife perform this evening. And as you know, Dean has been very, very involved in his wife Emerald's career for quite some time. Dean is talking to us via the cell tonight as Emerald is going on stage, huh, Dean?
She is, Phil, and she's just stepped up onto the bandstand, but we got a couple of seconds we can talk.
Are you familiar with the Tasmanian tiger at all, just out of curiosity?
I am. A beautiful animal, a marsupial, Phil, believe it or not, even though it looked a lot like a mammal. But it was a mammal. It was a mammalian-looking, but it was a marsupial.
This is the Tasmanian tiger. When you say marsupial, what do you mean, Dean?
Well, in other words, it carried its young in a pouch, in much the same way that the kangaroo does, and a few other animals. The Tasmanian tiger was hunted to extinction by the Australian ranchers and farmers that felt that the animal was preying on its stock, and so it was a prized trophy back in the day, and it was only in this century that we learned really what we were learning. Okay, this guy with the horn again. It was only...
If you could just concentrate on what we're talking about, and we'll let you get back to the show, Dean.
You got it, Phil. In fact, the more I concentrate on talking to you and the less I concentrate on Emerald's show, probably the happier I'll be tonight.
There's a very healthy way of looking at it.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, are you looking at Emerald now?
Yes, I am looking at her, but I'm trying not to listen because I can't listen too closely.
Okay, all right, let's stick with the Tasmanian tiger. The reason why we have you on the phone, Dean, when animals were hunted to extinction or otherwise, harassed or just driven to extinction because the food, the water, and the habitat that was beneficial to them dried up, how do we view generations before us as poor, dumb idiots or as the people that sort of led the way toward our knowledge of environmentalism?
Well, I think the way you look at the previous generations is that they are us. That's exactly who we would have been had you or me or Margaret or anyone been back in those days. We would have been the same way. So if you look at the human race as a person, and the very beginnings of the human race was our infancy, and then we went through our childhood, and you might say that perhaps right now we're in our pre-adolescence or our adolescence. Have we matured? Are we fully adult yet? I doubt it. So you have to look at the entire history of the human race as a history of ourselves. And when you look at those people from times of old who hunted the Tasmanian tiger to extinction, you're really looking at us the way we were before we learned better.
Yeah, but that's not me, really.
Yes, it is you, bud. In fact, and I don't mean to be unkind, but I'm paying you a compliment, keeping you in the same general ballpark as the rest of us.
All right, let's not be cruel.
I'm kidding around, bud. You're a good young man, and I just wish you wouldn't, you know, listening to you and having to look at her right now is...
What's going on with her right now?
Yes, she sounds like she's doing a good job.
Emerald is doing a good job, but the horn player, and this is our sixth horn player in the last 5 weeks.
Why can't you get a good horn player? I don't understand this.
Why? Why do you say that?
Every time I talk to you...
Yay! Nice one, baby. Hey, baby. Baby! Nice one. All she wants to know is if the horn player thinks she's good. These horn players, I don't know what she's got. Okay, here she goes again. She's going to say another song here.
All right, should I let you go?
No. The Tasmanian tiger, Phil, is a... Hold on. Come on, baby. Come on! Shut up! It's my wife up there, okay? Oh, God.
What's...
She's whispering it again. I told her, Billy, get up there and tell her. Shut up! Hey, Mac, I'm going to come over there and shut you up in 5 seconds. 4, 3, atta, baby. Go up and tell her not to whisper it. I don't like it.
We need to let you go, Dean, because obviously you've got a situation.
No. You don't have a situation. I'm trying to get her not to whisper. That's my wife up there, okay? I'll tell her what to do, not you. Yeah. These guys, I tell you.
Dean, don't get into another fight, okay? The last time you got into a fight, you lost 2 teeth.
I understand. You hear her whispering? I keep telling her, don't do it. Don't do it, baby. Don't whisper. She whispers because she doesn't have confidence in her singing voice. And she... Sucker punch.
What happened? Oh, what the hell?
Dean!
Put him on hold. Put him on hold.
That sounded like he got clocked.
Sounds like he took a shot to the chin. I think he took one right off the lips.
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing.
Yes, you are.
Well, he's laughing at me. I said he took one off the lips. What? Jesus, Henry, clean it up. Clean whatever you've got left of a mind up.
Put him on hold. Stay with the club, okay, bud?
Yeah, I got the manager on the line right now. What happened?
All right. How many seconds? We got 30 seconds. Okay. Stay on the line with the club. Margaret, you get on the line with Emeralda if you can backstage.
She's on stage right now.
All right. I will get us into the break. General, get yourself some vanilla wafers. Robert, do you mind me calling you Bob?
Yes.
I mean, Robert, please just you stay where you are, and we'll all be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.